look ahead to 2 o'clock this afternoon. The Tulane Green Wave are going to be in the box here to talk about that. Hunt Palmer. Hunt, welcome aboard, sir. How are you?
Doing very well. I heard that weather report you gave there. How do you think the Oregon State folks are feeling with that
94 today? You know what? I think they are really, really regretting this draw at this point.
I looked at the weather at Corvallis yesterday. The high was like 59.
Okay.
It sounds lovely.
That's, you know, I had a guest on the show yesterday, Crime Stopper segment. The normal Crime Stoppers guy is in Colorado right now for his son's graduation from the Air Force Academy. I'm like, are you even going to come home? Are you going to come back?
I remember in 2008, UC Irvine came here for the Super Regional, and their center fielder, just in the middle of an inning, just full body cramps went down. Like, they had to go get him and bring him off. It's like they've been out there with no humidity and, you know, 81, and all of a sudden you come down here and you got to stand in the scorcher for 3.5 hours. It's tough. It's tough.
Okay, so let's talk about this from, and that's a center fielder who doesn't have to physically exert himself on every pitch. Oregon State's coming in, and if I'm understanding right, or if I've been hearing right on 104.5, they're going to be out a couple pitchers. So you're talking about guys who don't go very deep through the pitch count anyway, going to be in this muck.
The key for all four of these teams that are here is to continue to win. Because when you lose a game, all of a sudden that means you have to play more games that you can't, and you don't have really have the pitching for it. None of these teams are equipped to pitch four or five games in a weekend. It's a bunch of teams that have good offenses. Sans Tulane, who hasn't swung the bat very well, haven't done much of anything really well, quite frankly, until last week. But it's a bunch of teams that don't have a lot of pitching, so they need to win the games where their pitchers can go, and that starts today and then tomorrow, which the most important thing in a regional, until you actually decide it, is winning those first two games.
So when it comes to the scheduling, today's really the only day, if you keep winning, today's really the only day where LSU's going to have to be in the heat, because tomorrow is going to be 8 p.m. and Sunday is going to be 8 p.m. Is that scheduling based off of the weather or based off of TV?
TV. Okay. TV calls the shots for all of that. Right?
So it's just serendipitous that if we stay in the winner's bracket, we'll stay out of the high 90s.
Exactly. But usually, Stanford has a regional this year, but usually Oregon has one, or Oregon State has one, or Cal State Fullerton has one, or UCLA has one. So there are more West Coast games to have late baseball.
Right.
In the TV window. Well, only Stanford plays late.
So
they're bumping a couple of the central time zones back a touch to try to fill those windows.
So is that just speculating on what's behind the minds of the TV people, is that you have the likelihood of a team from Corvallis, Oregon, playing on Saturday night?
It's certainly possible. I mean, that certainly could go into their thinking. I mean, because usually LSU plays that game at 7 o'clock, but... Well, 8 o'clock, just fine.
I'll take it. No, I'll take it. In fact, I'm producing it, so there you go. Hunt Palmer's our guest. We're talking about baseball at the box. Postseason baseball is a different vibe. And I think Tulane's about to witness that up close and personal. During the regular season, we often say, Hunt, that the other in-state teams, that's their World Series, playing LSU. Well, now we're on the path of the actual World Series, so it's going to be different. What should Tulane expect from the Tigers tonight?
That just depends on who LSU pitches, and we don't know. Usually, the starting pitching announcements are made on Thursday. Jay Johnson has decided that he believes it to be an advantage not to tip his hand until he has to, which is when they release the lineups 90 minutes before the game starts.
Yeah,
you can say that's not traditional. You can say that's Bush League. However you want to feel about it, or you can say that's his right. That's just what he's going to do. He believes that it's an advantage to LSU for Tulane not to know who the starting pitcher is going to be until 90 minutes before the game. So they've got to scout everybody as deep as they can, as opposed to locking in on one guy that they're going to see. So if they see Paul Skeens, well, you're going to see the toughest pitcher in the country, that you haven't seen anything like him all year. You're going to see Ty Floyd. You're going to see a guy who's throwing it a little bit better and would be an upper echelon pitcher in their league. If you go down the line a little bit and LSU decides to pitch off even further, well, the discussion changes.
Okay, so Ty Floyd is, I don't want to say the prohibitive favorite to get the start tonight, but it's between Thatcher Hurd and Ty Floyd, but for most people.
For most people, I'm a little concerned he's going to throw Paul Skeens. I don't know anything.
Really?
I have not talked to anybody over there. That is a vault over there. You are not getting any information. So for those listening, they're like, well, Hunt knows something. I promise I don't know anything. It just feels like there's a little bit of a buzz that's heading in that direction.
Can I go in the complete opposite direction?
I wouldn't want to go in the complete opposite direction. I would be completely fine with Floyd and Hurd. I said on my show earlier this week, if you were giving me the decision, I would throw Ty Floyd.
Okay.
I feel more comfortable than I did with Thatcher Hurd 2 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and I feel okay with him pitching for a regional championship on Sunday now, where I maybe didn't 2.5, 3 weeks ago. So I wanted to try to get by the 4 seed maybe with him and a couple of other guys. Now that I've got some more confidence in Hurd, I want to win, like I said earlier, the first two games. I think Floyd on Friday and Skeens on Saturday gives you the best chance to do that.
Well, Tulane, when we played them earlier in the season, was the beginning of the build for Thatcher Hurd, or the rebuild for Thatcher Hurd, right? But when I say completely in the opposite direction, Bryce Collins threw 2 2/3 shutout innings against Tulane when we beat them 11-5. Why wouldn't we hold on to everybody when you know you've got guys that can shut down the green wave?
Bryce didn't even pitch in Hoover, and I don't know that he pitched in Athens. I'd have to go back and look. I don't know that he's way up the pecking order.
He's not.
And I would rather have somebody out there that can, that I feel real comfortable, could, in the right circumstance, give me 5 innings. And mm-hmm. certainly Floyd's more than capable. And Thatcher Hurd threw 100 pitches in Hoover and did a pretty good job in that game, too. So those are the two guys. I don't want to play with a little bit too much fire and go with Blake Money or Bryce Collins or Riley Cooper or one of those guys. Give me a guy who you think can go out there and dominate for 5 innings.
Blake Money actually did not do well against Tulane last time out.
Correct, and he has been kind of an up-and-down guy. That's a guy you're going to have to lean on maybe if you get to Monday. And mm-hmm. you've already pitched Skeens, and you've already pitched Floyd, and you've already pitched Hurd, and now you got to look around and go, hey, Riley Cooper, hey, Bryce Collins, hey, you know, Ackenhausen, hey, Griffin Herring, like, you guys are going to have to get this thing done on Monday.
Okay, so keeping with Tulane, let's flip it around and talk about them since we don't know what LSU's going to do. What does Tulane bring to the table as far as a non-midweek game is concerned?
It is likely they will throw Dylan Carmouche, who is from Denham Springs and went to University High.
Mm-hmm.
He went to Mississippi State and was on their national championship team, pitched very, very sparingly on that team as a freshman, and then transferred. Now he's at Tulane. He's got 100 strikeouts on the year, and he was excellent in his start last week against Memphis in the American tournament. He's not a dominating pitcher. He throws 90, 91 miles an hour, but if he gets the ball, I mean, that's a guy who pitched in his high school field 250 feet away from where he'll be standing.
Right.
And understands the magnitude of what it is. But make no mistake, no matter who any of these teams throw the entire weekend, LSU's offense should be very, very comfortable. There is one arm in this tournament that you would consider a high-level SEC pitcher, and he's going to pitch today for Oregon State against Sam Houston, and LSU will not see him. So there is no one out of the bullpen, out of the starting, that comes in that you're like, uh-oh, here comes this guy. Not a single arm on any of the other three teams.
Interesting. Talk about Oregon State and Sam Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Beating Sam Houston is not a lock.
No, none of it's a lock at this point.
For Oregon State.
None of it's a lock for anybody. Sam Houston is a really good offensive team. They got a couple guys hitting over 400. They've got, who was last year's WAC Conference Player of the Year, has struggled a little bit this year. He's hitting like 281 with 6 home runs.
Mm-hmm.
LSU saw this team back in February, and I remember scouting them for the show and kind of looking through everything. They're very, very offensive. They hit a lot of home runs. They hit a lot of doubles. They don't pitch it very well, and they're coming in here, you know, with a pitching staff that was terrible in their conference tournament, quite frankly, for a lot of it. But they scored over 20 runs twice in that tournament in games. So it's an offensive team, but not a team that pitches it very well.
So looking beyond the LSU game, if you want to hang out at the box tonight, mm-hmm. you could see some fireworks.
You could. I mean, yeah, these are very offensive teams. However, Oregon State's pitcher tonight, I'm assuming that's who they're going to throw, is a good one. He's got well over 100 strikeouts on the year, and he's been the only mainstay in their rotation. They come to Baton Rouge having lost their number one starter about a month ago, who's not coming back, and their number three starter as of last week, who is not coming back. So this is their number two starter, who's very, very good. But after that, they don't have really anybody with an ERA under about 5 that they would go to for the rest of the weekend.
How do you feel about the overall, with that in mind, how do you feel about the overall draw?
It's good. It's a good draw. Your 2 seed has an RPI of over 36, which means they're on the lower end of the 2 seeds. They're without 2 of their weekend rotation. And then your 3 seed is a team that is playing in the WAC and is not a very good pitching staff. And Tulane has the most losses in the field. So as draws go, it's good. You just got to go out there and play. And my concern a little bit is that LSU, as many times they've won 2 out of 3 this weekend, or this year, they haven't necessarily played many complete weekends. They did against Ole Miss. They did against Bama, and that's what it takes. You've got to win all three. It's going to get bumpy at some point.
But it's
never
different
goes
when
smooth.
You're playing three different teams or right. two different teams over the course of the weekend versus playing the same team over and over and over again.
But you went to Round Rock, and you played two really good games. You won the opener against Kansas State, and you crushed Sam Houston, who's here on Sunday. And then against Iowa, you didn't play very well.
Do you have a concern because of the level of bats that are here with Oregon State and Sam Houston State, and to a lesser extent Tulane, about the bullpen woes that we've seen?
Yeah, sure. And when it gets warm down here, the box plays real offensive. We've seen fireworks out there for years. So you're never out of a game there. You're never done with it. You've got to play a complete 27 outs to do it. And so hopefully that starts today with a good win.
It's just now occurring to me that a 2 p.m. start time is smack dab in the middle of your show.
It is. Yes, we will do an hour of LSU baseball getting ready for first pitch. First pitch will go off, and I've got Saints OTAs and SEC football schedules and whatever else we can get done while I watch the game on the TV.
So shocked that you didn't just like hand off to Taylor or somebody and be like, peace out.
I mean, we weren't here yesterday. You got to put some work in at some point. I'll be out of the box tomorrow, though.
He is Hunt Palmer. You can check him out from 1 to 3
That's right.
Over on 104.5 ESPN. I always appreciate the time.
All right, Brian.